League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
And Jokic with a block shot.
And a rebound.
And a smorgasbord of block shots tonight for the Denver Nuggets. Corner issue, and that is Jamal Murray. A triple from Murray.
Ugh. Last night I decided, hey, I'm finally going to start watching the Rockets. Hadn't watched the first couple of games of the year. It's hard for me, even though I like the NBA, to really get full swing into the NBA until college football's done and the NFL starting to wrap up. So I figured, all right, I'll get a head start. And, man, I guess that the Rockets have some young, exciting players and that they make a lot of viral clips online with fancy dunks and stuff. But, man, they are not good. They can't play a lick of defense. It was 44-24 at the end of the first quarter. And, I mean, to make it even worse, I looked down for a second, and then I looked up in the second half, and it was 64-31. Down 33 points in the second quarter. And it just made me realize how down bad I am. Once again, as a Houston sports fan, how many of you guys have seen Saturday Night Live's old skit? I'm sorry for the 14-year-old references on this show, but I believe it's Rachel Dratch who played this character called Debbie Downer. This is how she was introduced.
You're enjoying your day, everything's going your way. Then along comes Debbie Downer. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. You beg her to spare you, Debbie, please, but you can't stop Debbie Downer.
So she would say something really depressing, and then they would play, like, wow, did you know that in the Middle Ages, 50% of births resulted in the death of the baby and the death of the mother? And then this sound effect would play after. So I've got some depressing numbers to just show you where I'm at from someone who covers Houston sports, and I can only imagine when it comes to the professional sports in town that you're there too. The Rockets gave up a ton of points last night. Hey, I guess losing 120 to just 100 isn't that much worse than losing 129-113, which is what they lost to the Nuggets by the previous game. I guess it's not that bad, but the Rockets, as far as average point differential this year, in 21 games played, -6.7. That is third worst in all of basketball. And they have allowed the fifth most points in all of the NBA. Thought Jabari Smith Jr. was going to change things. That didn't really do that, did it? Want some more? Okay, well, let's shift over to the other professional sports team in town, the Houston Texans. So, this is alarming. Kyle Allen comes in for Davis Mills. We're thinking, like, it can't possibly get any worse. By the way, I told you it could. This comes from, I believe, Pro Football Focus. Houston had a -86.3% offensive DVOA in Miami. It's the second lowest individual offensive game this season. It would have been worse if Miami didn't relax with a big lead, as Houston had a negative 181.6% offensive DVOA and 1.3 yards per play before halftime. I don't know what any of that means, but to have negative 181% is probably really bad. Holy crap.
Negative 100 plus anything. I feel like you don't need to know much about analytics to know, like, that's not what you want.
I didn't even know negative 100. I didn't even know negative percentage existed, let alone negative almost 200%. I mean, Jesus.
Does that mean they're, like, almost twice as bad as, like, the worst team?
Probably.
No, that'd be more than that. Yeah.
Their offense was, I mean, say if the negative 86.3 offensive DVOA was second worst, then in the first half, yeah, they must have been twice as worse. Twice as bad? That makes more sense. As whatever team was next. Good God. Oh, here, you want another one? Want another injection of negativity in your life? There's only two teams that can be eliminated from the playoffs. This week, what is it, week 11? I don't even know what week it is. Week 12? The Texans and Bears, the only teams in the NFL that can be eliminated this week. Did you see the map of the game, too? So, I remember going into the year, we were thinking, all right, well, maybe the people want to drum up ratings for the Texans and the Browns by having Deshaun Watson's return be for that game. That game will only be aired in the greater Cleveland metropolitan area, in the greater Houston metropolitan area, and I guess in Corpus Christi, and in Lubbock. That's it! I mean, God. Now, maybe they want to keep this game hidden, Deshaun Watson's return to Houston. I don't know. I don't think the NFL really cares that much about shying away from really bad black eyes that they have. Like, I think they like to actually steer head first into it. I think they believe deep down inside that all publicity is good publicity.
If the Texans were 10-1 instead of 1-10, this would be the Sunday night football game.
100%. And if the Browns had actually stumbled their way to like 6-5, yeah, something like that. I totally agree with you, Sean. They might have flexed this one in. Okay, but look, we're a positive vibe show. There's got to be some nice things to say about that, right?
Dude, you're a hater.
Off your line, what the hell is wrong with you?
So let's be positive about it. Think about it from this perspective. The entire Rio Grande Valley area, they don't have to watch the Texans game on Sunday. Now, if you're in Lubbock, sorry. But if you're anywhere else in the country, you don't have to see it. It's just us. It's confined to us. Hey, look, the Rockets' defense might not be good, but guess what? They're going to have a great lottery ball for this year's coming draft again. Are they going to be able to get that really big French guy? What's his face?
Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, it doesn't sound as French. Victor Wembanyama. Did I get it right?
Got it.
You said that sarcastically. Noted. No. Anyway.
I said you got it.
Got it.
Yeah. Good job, Paul.
One more time. Let me try to get it. Victor. Say it again.
Victor Wembanyama.
Victor Wembanyama. Got it?
Yeah.
That sounds sarcastic again. Hey, they might get him. There's no one that's going to beat the Texans for the first pick in this year's draft. And guess what? The NFL's talking about introducing a lottery to the draft soon. So guess what? Hey, you're still going to get the first overall pick. There's lots of things to be excited about in Houston sports. Yeah, it's great.
Don't like any of the quarterback prospects this year? Caleb Williams looks good.
He looks great.
Just one more year of this.
Look, Bryce Young maybe goes back to school for a year. That means you can draft a defensive lineman. You don't even have to draft a quarterback first overall. How about that? Look, a lot of you might be upset about the idea that they can't draft a quarterback and that a quarterback might say, yeah, I'm not going to come out early because I don't want to get drafted by the Texans. But you might end up along the way
being able to draft a bunch of great defensive linemen with a couple of early picks, although the Browns keep on winning. So there you go. There's a little positive spin. A cherry on top of your bad Houston professional sports day. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can Twitch us, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Coming up next, I found it fun to read Chandler Rome's write-up about Jeff Bagwell's press conference. I do have also something that I think that Jeff Bagwell should watch. And it comes from a guy who used to play for the Astros. You'll hear the audio of what he should watch next right here. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
713-780-3776 to call and to text in too on the HRNP listener line. You can join us on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes, twitch.tv/ESPN975. I do encourage you to check out that very, very funny video of Chicharito as a Call of Duty streamer. He just has a short temper. Like, that's really all it is. He's not, what, Dr. Disrespect or
Myers Leonard?
Well, he's not that. That's true.
He just has a short temper.
Yeah. Myers Leonard, yikes, bro.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. That is something I've been nervous about before. If I were to play a video game, would I say something really bad? I haven't ever actually Twitched a video game. Maybe I'll do that sometime. Maybe I'll try to bring back Battlefield, the shooter game. Because I was really excited when it came out, but everyone's like, this game sucks, it's trash. Maybe it's good now. I don't know. I haven't played it. Chandler Rome had an interesting write-up about Jeff Bagwell. But first, guys, we were down bad in the last segment. Just want to remind you, it's right around the corner. Sorry to throw this at you last second, Sean. We do need to continue the countdown to the start of the Houston Astros season!
The 2023 baseball season is almost tomorrow. Are you even ready?
What do you have to say to the everyone who still considers the Astros cheaters?
Y'all.
All right.
There's no downtime. What? You wanted a break from baseball? I guess you wanted a break from winning, loser.
Ring the f***ing bell! It's one of the World Series you can have!
It's the Astros.
Astros!
Astros countdown.
119 days away, guys. We're almost there! Let's go! I don't think Chandler Rome is a fan of the way that things are going inside the Houston Astros front office. And he knows more than we do. So he probably has a good reason for it. I don't think that the Astros' work environment is a great place, and I do feel bad for some of those people that are in that position, because for those who don't know, people that work in sports, outside of general managers and coaches, you get paid nothing and you work long hours. This goes for a lot of the people that work for the Houston Texans. This goes for a lot of the people that work for the Houston Rockets. It goes for a lot of the people that work, of course, for the Houston Astros, too. Sports management is not a fun industry to enter into, because everyone wants to enter into it until they realize like all the work that's associated with it and that you have a lot of ceilings that are in place that you can't advance past. So just wanted to put that out there really quickly. Rome took issue with the quote from Jeff Bagwell at Tuesday's Jose Abreu introductory press conference, where he said, the game has advanced so much, but at the end of the day, it's about driving runs in, scoring runs, getting 27 outs before the other team. That never changes. Trying to get a mix of both of those is what I'm trying to do and get some of up there, because that's what Jim Crane wants. But also said in that article too, specifically, that it's not all about analytics. Bagwell is right to an extent. And I do think that now that he has officially been acknowledged by Jim Crane as a key voice in the Astros front office, that we should try to be somewhat fair, while at the same time being skeptical. I would just encourage him to watch this video from a current player who used to play for the Houston Astros. This was back during the MLB playoffs. Carlos Correa is going to be a star on television someday. I think he is fantastic as a communicator. He should watch this. Jeff Bagwell should. This is a player who gets that there are numbers that are a part of the game that are fantastic when it comes to quickly evaluating players that could theoretically be available in free agency, in another team's minor league system, etc.
So, you know, with the old school, it was average, home runs, RBIs. So everybody look at that and judge a player based on those stats. Now, there's a lot more information out there. Now, it's all about projection. So how do you project a player? Play discipline is very important. WRC Plus takes into consideration the ballparks you play in, the league you play in, the quality of contact, your play discipline, just about everything in just one stat. So when GMs, when front offices, when they look at stats, they want to look at WRC Plus for a hitter, OPS Plus, and WOBA. Those are the most important stats right now in baseball. Those are the new triple crown, as we like to call it back in the day. It's not average home runs anymore. So when I'm in the clubhouse with the players, I make sure I tell them, hey, home runs are nice. You know, if you can hit as many of them, hit them. But also focus on your plate discipline. Get on base. Hit the ball hard. That's the key of the game. Barrel balls.
I mean, what a great explanation of those statistics. This is the new batting average. This is the new runs batted in. And I hope that Jeff Bagwell looks at a breakdown like that and realizes, okay, maybe my takes that I have been very comfortable sharing on the AT&T Sportsnet Southwest broadcast, and of course, sharing now publicly at press conferences, the quote, "There are certain things that go on that numbers can't explain," said Bagwell a couple of days ago. "This game is played by humans, man. It's not by computers. There are a lot of things that go on, stuff at home, a lot of things that can happen throughout the year that mean something, and it affects players in certain ways." You're right. But also, don't ignore the information that is available to you. Use it as a tool. What is wrong with embracing, or at the very least, listening to a new idea? Maybe you don't have to embrace it. Embracing it as the first word, that's too strong. Listening to another person's idea, though, what's wrong with that? You can disagree with it, but why not think about it? Because what bothers me with the way that Bagwell talks about numbers like this, advanced metrics, etc., especially when you compare James Click to Jeff Luhnow and realize that Click actually used less of the information than Luhnow did before. Why can't you hear what Carlos Correa said, because it's coming from a player, and think to yourself, huh, maybe there is a perfect world where these all can exist in harmony together. Is it that hard? And Rome, in his piece, wrote this: "Bagwell's comments should come as no surprise. He's taken both veiled and blunt shots at some of the game's modern changes during appearances on Astros television and radio broadcasts. Many players from his era might share similar thoughts. Few are witnessing a better illustration of the benefits analytics and technology can provide." That's what the Astros have been doing over the years. I think Rome is correct to point that out. So Bagwell needs to watch that video. Someone's got to sit him down and show him that. That's a player who is embracing it. There are other players who are too. Current players. What is wrong with the current players embracing that? Nothing. If the current players are embracing it, why aren't the ex-players embracing it? Is this going to turn into the same old BS that we see in the NBA all the time? "Oh, back in my day, we played great defense." Did you? That's subjective. You played more physical defense, that's for sure. You got away with a lot more. But that's like the most tired narrative that we hear in the NBA. And we shouldn't all turn into a bunch of old men when it comes to new things that come into our lives, period. I'm trying to be this way with new music. It's hard. But music is like the gateway drug to rejecting anything that comes from the younger generation. Some of the things that the younger generation are doing are silly. Bussing on God for real, right? I'll be honest, too. With some of the really progressive things that everyone just accepts without questioning at a younger age than me, there's a part of me that's like, calm down a little bit. But there are some ideas that they have that aren't the worst in the world. And I don't think that we, by default, like Bagwell kind of is doing here, have to say to ourselves, bleep that kid. You know, that's what I get out of Bagwell, though, when he speaks publicly. And there's lots of broadcast examples of this that you've probably heard over the last couple of years. So just try to be a little more open, Jeff, going forward. That's my request of you. If Carlos Correa can be that, why can't you? If current players can be that, why can't you? The game has changed. It has. It is maybe going back a little bit closer to what you did with the banning of the shift, but what's so hard about that? Why do you have to sound like a stick in the mud or a fuddy-duddy when it comes to that? I don't get it.
In the words of Carlos Correa, it's Jeff Bagwell's job to know the facts, or else shut the bleep up.
Maybe damn, Sean. Part. That's a great drop mic moment.
I don't stand by the shut the bleep up part. But.
Yeah, he's not going to say that. But know the facts. There's nothing wrong with embracing them a little bit. You don't have to use them as the go-to, but I just don't like closed-minded people that are going to say, nah, bleep this. Everyone's doing it this way now, including the organization that you work for.
Yeah, I was going to say, the ultimate irony is that as a player, he's using his experiences as a player to help build this team. This team has been so much more successful than any team Jeff Bagwell's ever been on.
Seriously, it's not even close. And again, maybe that's the Atlanta Braves. Maybe the Braves just were in their way, right? I mean, especially in the 90s and until the Astros, of course, beat them to go to the World Series.
But
in
now 05. The Astros are the Braves.
Right, exactly.
I don't think Fred McGriff was like, you know, I really think Jeff Bagwell can help us out. Give us some pointers on how to win the playoffs.
I don't want to take too many shots at a guy being on a baseball team that didn't win, because they were at least good, you know. But there, I know, are a lot of people who would point to Jeff Bagwell's postseason numbers and say, "Ooh, what's this?" So fair enough. All I'm saying to Jeff is be open. Comments like this make you sound closed-minded, and while I don't see eye to eye with many baseball writers, like I don't blame them for being rather vitriolic towards the Astros when that's what this guy, who was the chief advisor to the Astros owner, is saying. I don't blame them. Would you embrace? Again, that's too strong of a word. Be open to new ideas. Listen to new ideas. And disagree with them if you want, in a thoughtful way. It's not that hard. I'm Paul Gallant. This is the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN to join us on the HRNP listener line. You can tweet us at Gallant Says, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Coming up next, Kyler Murray, I think we all could agree, is a man who cares about himself. Now we have one of his ex-teammates actually going on record with it. And it has me wondering, who are the most entitled quarterbacks in the NFL in 2022? We'll talk about that next right here. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in or to text in on the HRNP listener line. A couple of texts. Analytics could have made Jeff Bagwell a better player. That's probably true. I'm sure that they could have taken a look at certain areas where he was swinging and say, hey, this isn't your strongest spot to swing at, maybe lay off pitches here. I'm sure that they could have perhaps worked on his launch angle or told him about other parts of his game that could have been a little bit better. Another text says, one of the many reasons why Bagwell can't be our general manager. Bagwell did say that he wouldn't interview for the job. I don't think that means he would say no to the job. Whatever the case, for the next general manager, I just don't want a voice like Jeff Bagwell to completely drown the new general manager's voice out. It feels like that is possible. And it might not hurt the Astros in the short term. It's a long-term thing. You want to keep this thing going as long as possible, right? I think that the Astros should be looking at it from a, hey, we don't need to just strike while the iron is hot. But everything that they're doing this free agency seems to indicate like they are going to go all in for the next couple of years. But with the way that things have been managed and, you know, with the depth of pitching that they have, this is something that theoretically could be continued, especially if they continue to, let's be honest, raid Latin America and find unbelievable young players and have them on the roster at a discount. See the Yordan Alvarez contract. This comment on Twitch is really what I was trying to explain in the last segment. This comes from Arthur Fox. Gallant is correct in addressing the communications gap and explaining advanced analytics, where most and many people don't really get it, including Jeff Bagwell. And at least that's what we gather from Bagwell with the way that he talks about it. It's a sneering, kind of condescending dismissal. I played the game. They didn't. But what's wrong with listening to somebody explaining those statistics? And I do think it has to be a player who does it. Bagwell's just not going to listen to nerds. I know that frustrates a lot of smart people who are involved in sports, but that communications gap is a big deal. I've talked about this in Seattle before. I think that Seattle sports fans are extremely condescending, especially the football ones, the really smart ones on there. And I like them. I get along with them. But I think when they start talking down to somebody about advanced statistics, that is where you will get a lot of people who are old school who say, well, screw you. I'm an idiot because I don't embrace it. It is tricky to present this to people who are unwilling to even listen to it. But you're going to make it worse if you talk down to that person. And I mean, we see this in the political landscape all of the time. I would say that, at least from my own perspective, the left does this with the right a lot. At least folks who lean that way. And you could understand why someone who leans the other way would maybe say, instead of, oh, I get what you're saying, instead we'll say, bleep you. And the divide continues, etc. I wish there were more players like Carlos Correa who could describe advanced statistics, explain advanced statistics to guys like Jeff Bagwell, because there would be more openness. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Who is the most entitled quarterback in the National Football League? I ask that question because of an interview that Patrick Peterson did, former cornerback for the Arizona Cardinals, now a cornerback with the Minnesota Vikings, with Bryant McFadden. Peterson laid it all on the line about the Cardinals organization, which is a mess right now, right? Does anyone think Cliff Kingsbury should survive this season? No. He just got an extension, though, this past offseason. Maybe he will. Does anyone think that Steve Keim, their general manager, should have gotten an extension? No. Does anyone think their quarterback, Kyler Murray, should have gotten the extension he got? No. They made a bunch of extensions this offseason, and I mean, the season has been an absolute disaster. Peterson used to be a Cardinal. I think he is a little bit salty about the way things ended in Arizona. Here is what he had to say about Arizona as a whole, and pay attention at the very end.
It ain't no maybe. He will.
He will be.
Yeah, he will be.
Uh-huh.
He will be. And the crazy thing about it, the guy who hired him will still have a job.
Yep. It sounds about right. I initially was thinking that they probably would stick with him because of the contractual agreement he has. But now just seeing how bad they've been. And then
they fired a coach after a season, man.
Steve Wilkes.
And he signed that extension last March. But see, just verbally now, vocally, Kyler Murray is talking about, and I don't like how he's doing that. I think he should keep some things privately. But it tells me he doesn't care about his head coach. And he's putting everything on the head coach, basically saying
Kyler Murray don't care about nobody but Kyler Murray. That's just a matter of the fact.
Well, I got it. So. I can't argue that. I don't know him personally. You played with him for a few years, so I got to take your word for it.
McFadden was so uncomfortable with that. So, look, this could be personal coming from Patrick Peterson. I think we have to be somewhat fair here. However, the body of work that Kyler Murray has left out does scream, I'm a selfish a-hole, right? I mean, go back to after the Cardinals' most recent L. After the game, Kyler Murray was asked about some of the offensive issues. Here is what Murray had to say. And it feels like
No, it wasn't. That wasn't for Hop, actually. Schematically, I mean, they kind of, we were kind of.
It feels like that was directed at Cliff Kingsbury. And, I mean, that's a guy who is on his own island. And look, maybe Cliff Kingsbury sucks as a head coach, and this is what Kyler Murray has to do to get Kingsbury out of Dodge. But Murray saw this comment made by Patrick Peterson. And here's what he had to say. He retweeted like one of those annoying quote graphics that you see accounts put out. Pro Football Focus put it out. Like there's a picture of Kyler Murray looking dismayed. Quote, Kyler Murray doesn't care about anybody but Kyler Murray. Murray, this isn't true. You want some weird bleep, Patrick Peterson. You got my number. If you feel really felt like this as a, quote, big bro, end quote, or mentor, in quotation marks as well, you supposed to call me and tell me, not drag me so your podcast can grow. Dot, dot, dot. Well, why would Peterson still be that big bro, that mentor, when he's not on your team? And it does feel like there's a little entitlement here from Murray. Oh, you're supposed to tell me when I'm doing things the wrong way. Eh. I mean, the Cardinals did it to you this offseason, and then your agent threw a hissy fit with that clause that they put in your contract. He leaked it out. You looked like, I think, a fool, but you turned it into a, woe is me, look at how they are treating me here in Arizona kind of moment. And he hasn't done anything. I think that the way that he looked, essentially checking out of the end of that playoff game against the Rams in the first round last year, this is a horrible look for a leader, especially a guy who would then, a couple of months later, get an extension to stay with the Cardinals with a lot of money guaranteed. To go a little further, there's a PFT little tidbit on Pro Football Talk. Some also believe that future Hall of Fame receiver Larry Fitzgerald retired when he did, specifically because of Kyler Murray. While Fitzgerald has never said that publicly and probably wouldn't, he heaped praise on Colt McCoy before the recent Monday night game between the 49ers and Cardinals in Mexico City for his leadership and attention to detail. Is that a shot at Murray necessarily? No, but PFT is connected. Murray's really entitled. Murray comes off as a giant D-bag. Where does he rank as far as the most entitled quarterbacks in the NFL? You can answer that for me next. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. We will wrap up the show talking about that right here on The Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. But first, I got to tell you guys about my friends at TGS. If you own your home, you got to listen up and grab that phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance are about to deliver you big savings, and you won't even have to talk to an agent to do that. You're paying too much for your home insurance, probably. I mean, we all pay too much for a lot of things in life, but you know, why not look at the alternatives? Oh, maybe it's a huge hassle. Not a huge hassle with TGS Insurance, because they've built a new system that instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds. And all you got to do is send a text. You'll save a bunch of money with that text. So take that phone out right now and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back, and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text message away from massive savings. One more time, text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323, and get your home insurance quote and save big today.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Aaron Rodgers has got to be up there, right, when it comes to the most entitled quarterbacks in the NFL. Kyler Murray's number one. I don't think you can put anybody else up there. I think Kyler Murray expects everyone around him to do things his way while not putting in the work. And there's nothing worse than that. Is he talented? Yes. Is he super talented to the point where he can get past all of that stuff? No. Hell no. He's, I think, a good player. He is not a great player. And when you seem to be half-assing it off the field or checked out on the field, I mean, why should anyone have your back? Other guys who are like this, I think Rodgers is a strong candidate. Rodgers is always weird with any answer that he gives. I don't think that these can be interpreted, though, as entitled. Completely, at least. Rodgers was asked yesterday, as we get ready for the Packers and Bears this weekend. Ugh. God. That game. How many times has that been foisted on primetime for us? That's not Sunday Night Football, is it? No, thank God. No, it's not. He was asked if he was open, Rodgers, to being shut down for the rest of the season.
You know, hopefully we don't have to have that conversation. But if that conversation comes up, you know, I'll approach that with an open mind and you know, without any bitterness or resentment. You know, obviously, like I said, I want to win out and we don't have to have those conversations. But, you know, I understand if we don't, that that's a possibility to have that conversation.
So, look, it's not in your control. It does feel like Rodgers is saying, well, it's up to me. That's a little entitled. No, it is. It's clearly entitled. He went a little bit further in a follow-up question, asked if rest would be beneficial. And he brought up something else that was fairly interesting.
I mean, well, that's an assumption that this place won't look any different next year. So yeah. I think, again, that's part of the conversation.
That part, too. Oh, this place won't look any different. What do you mean by that? Does that mean you might be gone? You have hinted that you want to play next year. Does that mean that someone in the coaching staff might be gone? Does that mean that some players might be gone? Does that mean that you're expecting the team to bring you back? And this is why with Rodgers, even though sometimes he does actually give thoughtful answers, very often he also says things that just drive you crazy. Being upset. Imagine being upset on the most successful NFL team over a three-year stretch. Because that's what he was, like, going into last year and going into the year before.
Oh, it's so hard. So hard to be Aaron Rodgers. I had to go on an ayahuasca retreat to find myself. Like, okay.
I hate to say this, but Tom Brady's been entitled this year. You know, you're operating completely different from all your teammates. I get that you're going through some things off the field, but you're skipping practice days during the offseason. You're not there every single day. I know it's voluntary, and you expect every single player on your team to have the same kind of commitment. He's definitely up there, at least this year, and he hadn't been in years past.
Does Zach Wilson still count as a quarterback in the NFL?
Yes, he does.
Okay. I don't know if we're already counting him as an XFL quarterback.
So Sean is putting Zach Wilson into this conversation of entitled quarterback.
I think he's on the medal stand.
I think that he has just learned that he is entitled. And I'm very curious to see how he handles it, because it doesn't sound like the Jets are going to go away from him right away. But we'll see. I mean, this is the second time that Mike White has come in and Mike White has played very well. Is that going to actually continue for the next week? Probably not. Other quarterbacks who are entitled, and there are a lot across the NFL. Russell Wilson, yeah, you could make that argument. I mean, Russell Wilson has his own office. Russell Wilson.
I mean, he has his own brand to worry about. There's different pressures that come with having to be a mogul. You know, he's more than just a quarterback.
In Seattle, he was extremely, Sean, entitled. And you're right. He wanted to build that brand up. He wanted to become an MVP so that he could do the same kind of stuff that Tom Brady is doing and wear Tom Brady's skin, if you will. But, you know, if I'm making my power rankings of the most entitled quarterback in the NFL today, Kyler Murray is one. I would probably put – I feel bad for Russell Wilson. I can't put him at two. I can't. I'm going to put Rodgers at two. I'm going to put Tom Brady at three. I'm going to put Russell Wilson at four. Zach Wilson for now is five.
He's one to watch for.
Yeah. Right.
Next season, preseason number one. He's on the up-and-comers list.
Who is there anybody else that we're missing as far as entitled quarterbacks? Like, Baker Mayfield I don't think counts as a quarterback anymore. I mean, Sam, he just got benched for Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold actually won a game this past week against, get this, Russell Wilson's Denver Broncos.
I just realized how many of these guys just got benched, but Carson Wentz. I feel like there's a lot of those rumblings. Like, no one really wants to say it, but there's a lot of like, oh, the guys just really love Nick Foles in Philadelphia. And it's like, yeah, what about Carson Wentz? Yeah, he's a nice guy too, but they love, and then he just gets kicked around every time.
I think you're onto something there, Sean, but I think the right term for Carson Wentz is oblivious. I think Carson Wentz is oblivious to what he's supposed to do. I don't think that he expects things to happen for him, you know? I don't think he's, oh, damn, guys, we forgot one.
Is it one that stands on his innocence?
It is. I mean, imagine going to a massage therapy place and you expect...
To be fair, he didn't go to a massage therapy place. He DM'd a massage therapist.
Well, imagine sliding into Rando's DMs and expecting them to massage your mini Deshaun Watson. If not, go a little further with your mini Deshaun Watson. Damn, that's a terrible job. Deshaun's number one. That look, I get that you guys are sick of talking about Deshaun Watson, but it is ridiculous that this story is just a nothing burger nationally right now. And you guys dealt with it for a year. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying it is ridiculous that nobody else across the country is talking about it. It's nuts. And that's what happens when this team blows and the Browns stink too. It's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Okay. This is a fun story. Man, international soccer has all sorts of drama. There's some drama going on in the Serbian national team because I'm going to try to get the name right. We know that we don't do great with pronunciations here. I say we like it's everybody else listening. It is. It's your fault too. Dusan Vlahovic. I think I got that right.
You got it. Better than Victor.
Denied reports about his affair with Serbia's reserve keeper's wife. It's absurd. Complete nonsense. It's sad that I have to come here and explain myself. It's invented by people who have nothing better to do with their life. Well, who is this wife and reserve goalie in question? Per JuveFC.com, several Serbian sources confirmed that Vlahovic had an affair with the wife of Serbia's reserve team goalkeeper. They can't even say his name here either. This is the reason why Dusan has not played much for Serbia. Okay, fine. Well, let's check it out on Instagram, because I went on the gram to figure out what was going on. Gotta say, as it loads for me right now, I gotta say that these two are a cute couple. Rajkovic Prezrag. What? Sean, stop laughing. He is married to Anna Rajkovic. And Anna Rajkovic is an influencer. She's got 177,000 followers on the gram. She's verified. Prezrag has 131,000 followers as a reserve goalkeeper. They look like a happy couple. If you check their Instagram story, there's multiple posts of them together on Anna Rajkovic's Instagram story of them together, and they're playing like Endless Love, Endless Love, or some song that sounds like that. So I think that this relationship is fine, and that this drama is fake news.
It's the classic Serbian media trying to tear the team apart.
Yeah. Come on, man. Stay away. Stay away. But also, I mean, looking at Anna, even though she's got a couple of kids, I wouldn't blame her for, you know, moving from the reserve goalkeeper to the top. Like, listen, hot women, they can get away with whatever they want. That's how it works. I don't know if they're married. It does seem like they have two kids together. And I'm basing this entirely off of Instagram, because I can't read what any of the captions say.
Yeah, I was going to say, had a great time at the children's hospital and two kids.
I do wish I knew how to speak...
Serbian?
Serbian or Croatian or any of that, but it was hard. Anyway, that's going to wrap up the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether it's on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or on the radio itself. I don't know what I'm talking about here. Subscribe to the podcast, okay? Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, everyone who watched it, listened on Twitch, our listeners, our callers, our texters. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.